Chapter 2. "Let's get your stuff inside," Savan said, leading Hakim to the trunk of the rental car. The rest of the family went into the house, leaving them alone. "This all you got?" Savan asked, peering into the trunk and eyeing the suitcases. "We put our stuff in storage," Hakim said, refusing to admit to his cousin that his parents could not afford to ship all their belongings to Detroit. Savan grunted and then hoisted the heaviest suitcase out of the trunk as if it were weightless. Then he reached for Hakim's guitar case. "It's okay, Savan. I'll take that," Hakim said. Savan looked at him curiously for an instant. "You're sharing my room, cuz," Savan said with a smirk. "Whatever is yours has to go up to the third floor. You sure you can handle it? You looking a little broke down." Hakim rolled his eyes. Savan's comment was bad enough, but the news that he'd have to share a bedroom with him was even worse. "Man, don't worry about me," Hakim grumbled, grabbing his guitar and following his cousin. Hakim was tired when he and Savan finished unloading the car. The trip up three flights of steps made his face wet with perspiration and his arms burn. He tried his best to hide his exhaustion, taking deep breaths when his cousin was not looking. Afterwards, they sat on the front porch drinking orange soda. Hakim remembered it was Savan's favorite drink when they were kids.
"You ain't worn out from that little bit of lifting, are you?"
Savan asked with a superior grin.
"I mean, I feel like we was just getting started. I was about ready to go bench press a couple hundred pounds," he bragged. "You want to lift with me? Man, you didn't get up at 6 a.m., fly halfway across the country, and leave all your friends behind. I'm tired," Hakim admitted. "Don't tell me you're asking me to feel sorry for you. You don't even want to go there, not with me. You think I want to be sharing my room with you? Please."
Savan scoffed. He looked genuinely disgusted. Again, Hakim was caught off guard.
"Savan, what's your prop? Check it out, yo. There go my homeboys,"
Savan interjected, jumping out of his chair and rushing off the porch. Hakim watched as his cousin approached a group of guys gathered in the street. Including Savan, there were five of them. One had a Rottweiler, which he restrained with a thick leash. The dog seemed friendly, but it looked as if it could devour a small child if it wanted to.
"What's up, partners?"
Savan called out as he crossed the street.
"Sup, Savan?"
answered one of the guys as he blew a whitish-gray cloud of cigarette smoke into the air.
"We just wanted to know if you were still down with Friday night," another guy asked.
"You know I'm down, Tariq," Savan asserted. "You think I'm getting soft or something?"
"We was just checking," the kid answered. "Ain't nothing to get hyped about."
"Oh, you ain't seen me get hyped," Savan exclaimed. "Just wait till Friday night."
The guys laughed.
"I just hope we get out before the cops come," said Tariq, glancing for a second at Hakim.
"Man, there ain't nothing to worry about."
Hakim nearly dropped his soda. Right in front of him, Savan was boasting about something illegal and dangerous. Hakim tried to listen to the conversation, but a passing truck momentarily masked Savan's voice. Even with the noise, Hakim could see that his cousin dominated the conversation. Savan was a blur of motion, wildly moving his arms and occasionally punching his fist into the air to emphasize a point. Savan's friends laughed and nodded at what he was saying.
"Savan, Hakim, come inside,"
Aunt Lorraine called from inside the house.
"Yo, I'll catch up with y'all later on,"
Savan said to the group of guys as he headed toward the house.
"You know where to find us?"
one of the guys called out. Savan returned to the porch and glared at Hakim.
"What was you doing, listening to every word?"
"No, I..."
"That's what I thought," Savan snapped. "You didn't hear nothing."
Aunt Lorraine ushered the family into the modest dining room where a full spread of food was waiting. There were fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, homemade cornbread, and a pineapple upside-down cake. The aroma reminded Hakim of his visit years earlier. Back then, Aunt Lorraine put homemade dishes on the table almost every night. She cooked so much good food that Hakim's dad called her the magician in the kitchen.
"Everybody dig in,"
she said after saying a brief prayer. Then she smiled and heaped a huge spoonful of macaroni on Hakim's plate.
"Now I want you all to make yourselves at home. This is how we eat around here, which is probably why I can't seem to lose any of this weight," she chuckled. Are we always going to have this much food?
Charlene asked.
At least until September, baby, Aunt Lorraine answered, putting a chicken leg on her plate. One good thing about being a third grade teacher is that I get my summers off, and when I'm home, I like to cook up a storm, especially when we got guests.
Lorraine smiled as she talked. So, where's James?
Akeem's father asked.
How come he's not eating with us?
He ain't never here, Savon said, reaching an arm in front of Akeem to get a piece of chicken. Oh, he's working, Aunt Lorraine explained. I ain't never known a man that works the way he does. He's at that furniture store practically from morning till night, 7 days a week.
His brother used to be the same way, Akeem's mother said, putting her hand on Dad's arm.
He was at that job so much I used to call it his second home. We hardly ever saw him with the hours he kept.
That's just the way we were brought up. Our dad was from the South, and he told us that the only way a black man could make it in the world was to work harder and smarter than the next guy. So that's what we did.
Yeah, well, some kids today don't seem to know a thing about that lesson,
said Aunt Lorraine, glancing at Savon. For an instant, a tense silence swept over the table. Akeem took a sip of his drink, and Savon grabbed a piece of cornbread. Akeem's sisters looked at their parents.
James is working late tonight because there was a break-in near the store a few nights ago, Aunt Lorraine said.
A break-in? Mom exclaimed. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Lorraine nodded, swallowing a mouthful of macaroni.
Two stores been robbed on the street in the past month.
I told him to get a guard dog, Savon said. A pit bull or a Roddy. That'd keep them thieves away. If he just...
Hush your mouth, boy, Aunt Lorraine snapped. You always talking nonsense. He don't need no guard dog down there. But what he could use right now is some extra help.
Aunt Lorraine glared at Savon as she spoke.
Mom, I told you, I ain't got time for the store right now, Savon said. But you got time for them friends of yours, right?
Savon slouched back in his chair for a second and crossed his arms.
Well, Hakeem and I are glad to pitch in,
Dad suggested, breaking the tension.
Looks like we got plenty of time now. It's the least we can do.
Dad continued, looking at Hakeem.
As soon as I get my strength back, I'd love to help James out. Lord knows I could use the exercise, but Hakeem could pitch in right away. Maybe tomorrow if James needed him, right, Hakeem?
Hakeem felt the eyes of everyone at the table focus on him. He'd never thought about working with his uncle, but now he realized he had no choice.
Yeah, sure, Hakeem said, shrugging his shoulders. I'll help out.
Suddenly, Savon turned to Hakeem's father and stood up.
Yo, do y'all mind if I excuse myself? He asked. I got some calls to make, and I want to get the room ready for Mr. Callie over here.
But Savon,
Aunt Lorraine protested,
we have guests.
It's all right, Lorraine, Dad said. Let him do what he's got to do. Savon will be seeing a lot of us.
Savon was already on his way up the stairs by the time Dad finished talking. Aunt Lorraine shook her head as the thud of Savon sprinting up the steps faded in the distance.
You'll have to ignore your nephew, Henry. Most times his mouth works faster than his mind does.
It's all right, Dad replied. I was 16 once. That's just part of the territory.
But I really worry about him, Henry, Aunt Lorraine said. I wish he had his act together like you, Akeem.
She reached over and patted Akeem's forearm as she spoke.
We keep telling Savon about how well you've done in school and how you help out the family, but he just doesn't want to listen these days.
Akeem smiled blankly, hiding his growing discomfort. During the rest of the meal, he listened as the adults talked, but his mind kept drifting back to Savon and the mysterious conversation that happened outside.
What were they planning for Friday night? He wondered.
If it was anything like it sounded, Aunt Lorraine had good reason to worry.
This is my room, barked Savon as soon as Akeem walked into the small bedroom. And you're just a guest, so remember not to mess with any of my stuff.
Akeem nodded and walked to the far corner of the room where his belongings were piled. Savon was stretched out on his bed, leafing through a wrinkled magazine. He flipped through rapidly, skipping pages that did not contain pictures.
How am I going to live here with him?
Hakeem thought to himself as he looked around. The floor of the small bedroom was cluttered with sneakers, piles of clothing, and stacks of CDs. A small desk with a clip-on lamp sat in one corner of the room next to Savon's bed. An empty Coke bottle, a stereo, a tiny cactus, and a pile of magazines took up nearly all of the desk space. A full-length mirror was attached to the back of the bedroom door, and posters of hip-hop artists covered most of the walls. One even covered the closet door. The posters reminded Hakeem of the music store at the mall back home. The store was so loud and crowded that it usually gave him a headache. The only thing Hakeem was happy to see was a window located at the foot of Savon's bed. The window was open, and a breeze cut some of the heat that filled the room. A second single bed with a black metal frame and a bowed mattress lined the far wall. Diagonally across from it was a chest of drawers and a lamp. Hakeem figured the empty bed was his. Without a word, he piled his stuff on the mattress, sat down, and took a deep breath. Somehow, the cramped room made him feel even further from home. A heavy wave of sadness spread over him.
If only I could have stayed at Coop's, Hakeem thought to himself.
What's the matter?
Savon asked, interrupting his thoughts.
You expecting a palace or something? This ain't good enough for you? No sunshine? No beaches?
Savon, you need to chill,
Hakeem said, raising his voice.
Don't tell me what I need to do,
Savon hissed.
I don't need to hear that from nobody, especially you. You don't know nothing about me or what I need.
Hakeem glared at Savon. His pulse suddenly began to throb in his neck.
Savon, what's your problem?
Hakeem snapped, his stutter surfacing uncontrollably.
I haven't done anything to you, and all I get from you is static. You gotta be kidding me.
Savon said, his jaw dropping.
Is that a stutter I hear? I guess you ain't so perfect after all.
Hakeem squeezed his hands into fists and took a deep breath. He knew the only way to stop the stutter was to relax.
Uh-oh, are you getting mad too?
Savon challenged, putting his magazine down.
You ought to be careful. This ain't California. Man, what's your problem? You keep acting like I did something to you when you know I didn't. Besides, we're family. We ain't supposed to be this way.
Savon winced for an instant, as if the words stung.
Oh, so now you're trying to tell me how I'm supposed to be, too? I don't need no advice, cuz. Not from you, Dad, or anyone. And what you need is a speech doctor.
I gotta bounce,
Savon muttered bitterly, tossing aside his magazine. Before Hakeem could reply, Savon rose from his bed, grabbed a baseball cap, and walked out.
Leave my stuff alone, he barked as he descended the steps.
The room was suddenly quiet. Hakeem leaned back on the crooked mattress and stared at the ceiling. He had never missed home more.
Out here, in strange places, nowhere to hide. I don't know where my space is. Out there, you walk alone. Miles between us. I can't come home. Someday, who knows when, if fates allow, we'll meet again.
Hakeem penned the words into his journal and read them. They were for his friends and the home he left behind. But most of all, they were for Darcy. As he read, he imagined how she'd react to Savon.
Why are you acting like some hardcore gangster?
She would say.
Muscles and jewelry don't make you better than anyone else.
The image of her scolding Savon made Hakeem smile, but it also made him homesick. Savon had been gone for more than an hour, and in that time, Hakeem had finished unpacking his few things. After sitting briefly with his family, he grabbed his guitar and journal and sat on the back step as the daylight faded away. Back home, he would watch sunsets with Darcy and their friends. They would laugh and talk about their fears and plans for the future, but never in all those evenings did his fears include Dad's cancer or moving away. Never did he picture that he'd end up in Detroit with his angry cousin. Hakeem closed his journal and gently picked up his guitar. The sky was almost completely black, and a cool breeze drifted through his uncle's small backyard. The guitar's neck was smooth and familiar in Hakeem's hand. He played a sad melody that matched his mood. The music comforted him, making him feel as if he had a close friend next to him, one that understood everything he was experiencing. Losing himself, Hakim leaned into the guitar as he played, making it speak his mind, vent his anger, voice his frustration. His fingers ached when he finally stopped playing, but he felt relieved. Then he heard someone clapping. In the yard next door, Hakim spotted a young woman watching him. For an instant, he was frozen.
"Hi," she said, smiling warmly. "Don't stop playing. It's really nice."
Hakim blushed. He had not been playing a song. He'd played his private feelings. Knowing that she had been watching him made him suddenly feel naked. He tried to think of a song to play, but his mind went blank.
"I didn't realize I had an audience," he said, taking his fingers off the strings. "How long have you been watching me?"
"Just a few minutes. I was really enjoying the show."
"Show?"
Hakim said, watching her closely. She was leaning against the metal fence that separated the two backyards. In the glow of a nearby street light, Hakim could see that she was stunning, perhaps his age or a bit older. Her dark skin was flawless, and her hair was cut short, making her look like a model from a fashion magazine.
"If I knew there was a crowd, I would have sold tickets," he joked.
She smiled again, and her face seemed to glow. Hakim's heart fluttered.
"I'm sorry I snuck up on you, but I'm not used to hearing a guitar playing out here, so I had to investigate. It's not every day a girl gets a live performance in her backyard. I didn't mean to ruin your vibe."
"That's okay," Hakim replied, putting the guitar down. "I was just messing around. Nothing serious."
"Well, it sure sounded serious to me. To be honest with you, I never heard a guitar sound so pretty."
"Thanks," Hakim said, unsure whether he liked her description of his music.
"I play when I need to clear my head. It helps me relax, you know?"
"I wish I could play like that," she said. "Whenever I need to get away, I listen to music. I don't make my own."
For an instant, Hakim thought he heard a sad note in her voice.
"Maybe you could take guitar lessons," Hakim suggested. "You better watch out, though. People may start spying on you when you least expect it," he added, smiling.
"Maybe you could teach me," she replied, seeming to ignore his comment.
Hakim could see a playful glint in her eye.
"That's a lot to ask someone you don't even know."
"You're right," she said, walking over to the fence directly across from him. "That's why you should introduce yourself to me. What's your name?"
Hakim blinked, unprepared for her question.
"I'm Hakim," he said. "Well, it's nice to meet you, Hakim. I'm Anika," she said, moving closer and wrapping her fingers into the wire fence.
"So tell me, what are you doing in my neighbor's backyard?"
"This is my aunt and uncle's house. My family and I just moved in from California."
"Oh, you're that cousin Savant's been talking about."
"You talk to Savant?" Hakim asked.
"Not so much anymore, but I hear him all the time,"
Anika replied, crossing her arms.
"He's always hanging out in the corner with his crew, and you can't miss his big mouth when he's talking. I heard him complaining the other day about how he had to share his room with some cousin from Cali."
As she spoke, Anika mimicked Savan's voice and manner. Hakim smiled at her imitation.
"No wonder I got such a warm welcome," he said. "Well, if you ask me, it was you who got the bad end of that deal, not him."
Anika tilted her head and raised her eyebrow to emphasize her point.
Hakim rubbed his chin and tried to hide how much he enjoyed Anika's company. She was so pretty, and she seemed completely honest.
Looking at her, he couldn't help noticing her body, the way her hips filled her denim skirt, the way her stomach was visible just beneath her snug t-shirt.
"So, you and Savan have known each other for a long time?" Hakim asked. "Ever since fifth grade, though it feels like forever. That's when my mom skipped town with her smooth-talking boyfriend," Anika said bitterly. "She sent me here to stay with my grandma, and I've been here ever since. But all that's ancient history," she added, shaking her head.
Again, Hakim detected sadness in her voice. He wanted to know more about her. Suddenly, the voice of an elderly woman yelled from inside Anika's house.
"Anika!
the voice said. Uh-oh, there goes my grandma again. She can't get down the stairs too well without me, Anika said, her face looking strained. I love her, but sometimes I just want to run out that door and never come back. Akeem nodded, thinking about Savan and the summer ahead. I know the feeling, he said.
Anika,
the frail voice called again.
Where are you, girl?
1 second, Grandma, Anika yelled, heading toward the house and then turning back to Akeem.
Well, I gotta go. Grandma needs me, she said quietly. Besides, I'm sure we'll see each other again, you know, for my guitar lesson.
Definitely, Akeem replied, watching Anika disappear inside the blue house next door. As soon as she closed the door, Akeem grabbed his notebook. He glanced at the lines he had written for Darcy earlier in the evening. Then he turned to a new page and began writing. This time, what he wrote was not just about Bluford or Darcy. It was also about Detroit and what had happened to him since he arrived. But most of all, he noticed as he reread the pages later that night, it was about Anika, the first person to make him feel as if the move to Detroit might not be so bad.